Leonard, if you'd just stand up. She's from the northeast of England. She's also a mighty prophetess and travels the nations. And her and I worked together for years. And so it's always a privilege when we get a chance to be together, which isn't as often as we like. You know? So thank you for needing to be here with us this morning, Pam. I so appreciate you. And, you know, I just want to, how many people know that you can hear from God without me saying, thus saith the Lord, in a few moments? If you'll let me do that, you know, I really feel like that you only get one first time at a house. And so you want to make sure, God, can I bring forth the purest, most straightforward, clearly understood word that we can possibly bring forth corporately, as well as being able to bless many different individually as well. And so it's always a joy to get to minister to you individually, but I do feel like we want to bring a corporate word into this house. So if you give me grace, we'll get to both, okay? And we'll have the outline by 12:15. So you can have your tea and be blessed. Amen. I just want to begin to say this place. Pastor, I just so appreciate you, and I appreciate the purity of worship. That is to say, right from the very beginning, didn't it have God stamped all over it, such a purity and a clarity. I mean, we did in the spirit, it had that crystal sound, like when you plink or plunk crystal, where it just has a clearness to it, because there's such a purity attached to it. And so thank you so much. And Pastor, I see such a humility, but also see such a strength and a high calling that the Lord has on you. And so, you know, we really feel privileged to get to have a few minutes to co-labor together in this place. And I never take that lightly. And so I want to share something that I believe I can share in 10 minutes, and then we can prop. But it is all around this is a prophetic word. When God told Moses to sound the advance, there is always a sound that brings an advance. And that sound is not the same sound for different groupings of people. That there's a sound because there's different callings. And I really felt like that there was a sound for advance in this place that was two opposite sounds, and that's how it was supposed to be. And that sounds unusual. Because most people say if we have two visions, then we have division. And that you only want to have singular thrusts and visions. But I felt like that the Spirit of the Lord, as we were in the midst of worship, was speaking about two different visions, so, or multiple visions, but what there is, so that makes there's different sounds for advance. And I feel like that there is a sound for advance that is like the sound of Rebecca weeping for her children that cries for another generation. And that's one of the sounds of advance. But I feel like that there's another sound of advance where the Lord is speaking about discipling nations, not just knocking on doors. There's a sound of advance like that. And there's another sound of advance, like when the apostles gathered together in, when they gathered together and they had their council, and Peter came in and said, help me, Jerusalem. And they had their council there. There was a council of apostles. There's a sound for us here that has a call that's meant to be a gathering of apostles as well. And so there's a sound of advance that I believe is meant to cover several different things. And maybe we'll touch on more of those later and unpack a few of those. But I believe that when you have that, it's always a preceding sound. And what I mean by preceding is there's times when we can get stuck in places, and without the right sound, how do you have the breakthrough, and how do you be able to proceed past that point? And the Lord was reminding me of a couple things, even as we were in the midst of worship. And one was my first trip to Scarborough in England. And it was a group of pastors and leaders, maybe about 50 of us. So it wasn't that's large. Most places get 50 leaders to come together. together, but it wasn't. And I remember going in there, and as a prophet, you depend upon hearing the voice of God, something fresh, wherever you go. And I remember the Lord was just telling me nothing, absolutely nothing. And it was easy to feel like you almost in a striving at that moment, because you go, oh, come on, God, you know, we've got to move forward, you need to tell me something. And so worship was just about over, and the Spirit of the Lord hadn't told me anything. And, you know, so I thought, okay, this must be one of those moments, open your mouth and go fill a chair, you know, what does God do? But anyway, so finally when they announced me and I got up and I stood before the congregation, I mean, for the leaders, I stood there for a moment, and the only thing I heard the Lord say is the Lord says, tell them why there has been a ceiling on church growth in this region. And I thought, well, God, I'd really like to do that if I knew that. what that is. And, you know, that sounds funny when you're on this side of it. It wasn't funny at that moment, you know. And so, so I just said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord wants me to tell you why there has been a ceiling on church growth in this region. Well, first of all, I didn't even know if there was a ceiling on church growth, you know. And the Lord says, the first church in this region got so excited about the crusade that they gave the responsibility of the church over to the French to take care of so that they could go and be a part of the crusades. And I thought, well, at least I said something, you know, whatever that means. Are you with me on that trip? I know Richard Fleming was. But anyway, so I said that, and then I was waiting because many of you know how the prophetic operates. You kind of take the cork out of the bottle, and the rest kind of flows out. Nothing flowed out. That was it. It was stark quiet. And you know, you have that moment thought, well, I can stir up something, you know. We're all back to teach. We can do something. But, you know, you just knew you shouldn't. And so I stood there. I think I stood there for 5 minutes. It might have been two, but it felt like 30. Okay, but I'll say five. At that moment, I stood there. And all of a sudden, this man comes out, and he asks if he could share something. And he was from one of the churches in the area. And he says, on the site that we have our church, it had been burned down twice, he says, was the oldest church of Scarborough. And he said, we gave it to the Benedictine French monks during the Crusades because for them to care for, and we left the congregations and all the new converts and all that, and we went on out that. And he said, I don't know if, so I just want to stand and I want to repent for that. So at least I thought, okay, we had someone that could verify what the Spirit of God said. And so we prayed into that. We asked for forgiveness for that. And then I thought, now the Lord's going to give me more to say. Nothing. Another pastor came out and said, can I share something? And he says, we have been at 100 people. He says, and he says, that's counting every children, every visitor, everything. He says, we have been there now for over 5 years. And he says, every time we grow a little bit, then immediately something happens that breaks it back down to that point or lower, and then we build back up again. And he says, we have gone through this. And he says, now we just call it a cycle. He says, because it's getting so common that we're living with that. And so all we did was kind of pray into that and repent and say where that curse had originally came in from, a lack of caring for God's people and new converts. We just broke that off. Anyway, before we got done, I would say the majority of the pastors had come and taken the mic, and they had all shared something that was similar. We prayed into that. Now, I don't believe that it was because I was there and said that. I believe it was because God had a key. And God was inserting his key into what had been a limitation and a glass ceiling into that house that morning. Let me tell you. Within 2 years, now I've got a lot of correspondence before that time, but within 2 years, the church that had only ever been able to grow to 100 was now 300. Okay? Several of the other ministries had already sent emails to us and said how they had recognized something different, and they had been in seasons of multiplication, and it wasn't grow and shrink, but that it was that which had that ability to progress. Now, they've invited me back recently and said, we need another cap taken off us. I said, no, this time it's up to you, you know. That's what I thought, that was a key. But wasn't that interesting? The key to them was looking back to something to be able to release them from. Can I just say this for you? That is not what God is doing in the midst of you. People, why don't you give me that illustration? Because everybody looks, we evaluate ourselves when we don't see everything matching the vision and the bigness of the purposes of God. And so we reevaluate ourselves and we search ourselves and we see if there's any lacking in ourselves, or we see if there's something in an area that needs to be broken, or if there's something that we need to build, or something so that things can move on. And so we look to the past. And I really felt like that you have had some key people in here that have already done that. And I felt like the Lord wants to just say, well done, good and faithful servant, in those areas. And that is, doesn't mean you don't, God will bring up things from time to time. But God just wants you to know that is not what you're dealing with now. Now let me tell you another situation. A good friend of mine, Melody Hilton, some of you know her. A good friend of mine, when I first met her, they were in a place in the United States, in Pennsylvania, that you have had to have the word of knowledge to find them. Okay? Over this hill, through that bell, down this valley, I mean, past any buildings or you know, I don't know where they bought the groceries. But I mean, and finally, out in the middle of nowhere, you found them, and it looked like somebody pulled up a mobile home. I'm sorry, it wasn't that, but it had that shape. It looked like just a little railway car, and had a little group of people ministering inside, and she had invited me to come in and speak at a women's conference, was how I met her. And so we had a good time with the gathering in town, wherever town was. I think we drove an hour to find a town. And so we were there, and I remember the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me when it was my time to minister to her. And the Lord said, you're doing women's ministry because you feel like that's the part that's given to you based on gender. But the Lord says, I never did call you as a woman's minister. As a matter of fact, I've called you as an apostolic mother, and you are called to raise governmental and church leaders for this nation. We're talking about a church of maybe 20 people. Did you hear me? Maybe 20. On a good day, when they have people, they have visitors of maybe 50. Okay? So it always looked better when they had a special speaker. And I spoke this over her, and we had a lot of conversations about this. And she had never felt like that she had an anointing to work with young people at all. As a matter of fact, she had two children of her own, and she felt very inadequate as a mother because she had gone through so much in her own personal life that she felt like maybe she had some areas that were a little disconnect. And but the Bible says if you believe and receive the prophet, what happens? You begin to prosper. And so what she did was she began to search the heart of God concerning what do you want to do in the youth. And here they are in the middle of, I don't even know how to use this word, podunk, that means the littlest out-of-the-way place in Pennsylvania. And she's saying, God, how do you want me to raise government leaders for the nation, and how do you want me to raise up leaders for the church and leaders in the Seven Mountains? How do you want me to be able to do that? And so she began a small little leadership school. And I think she had three students, based solely on what the Lord had said. She did that. And she also repented and said, God, I'm so sorry for my own insecurity. I'm trying to become what everybody else wants me to become. And as a church, we're trying to do all things rather than be who you called us to do. So she repented and she did that. I can honestly say this now. They have a school, and is it a one-year program or two-year program? It's a two-year program. The students that go through that, I don't know if I got the caliber of character to make it through that school. I'm telling you, it is tough. But what she brings to the table, she not only teaches, trains them, has the She won't even let the parents send them more than a certain amount of money, because she's going to make sure they know how to steward finances and that they know how to operate and keep an economy. I mean, as a part of all of this. And every week, they all have separate projects that they're out in the community already having to lead and already having to develop different areas of leading in the community. And the community has grown up a little bit around them now, so they don't have to go so far. But I can tell you this. We have people running in the United States for Senate today that are graduates of that school. We have people today, and I don't believe every church needs to be a mega church, but there are pastors of mega churches that are running for that. In Nicaragua, the government of the Sandinista side has her in every year to train the young generation. And here, these are terrorists. I mean, they're guerrillas. They have her in because they realize they have got to train their leadership, their generation, in a new way to be able to do. She goes into major companies and organizations, and she has no difficulty in talking about God, the kingdom, and biblical principles. But she so gave herself to how do you raise leadership in the next generation that I believe that this woman's legacy is already changing the earth because of what God put within the midst of her. Now, why am I saying those things? I believe that God's got something that's of that weight this morning. I can't even remember the last time I've ever given any of those testimonies. I don't even know if Greg's even heard one of those. But I feel like it has that caliber. So if you'll hold with me this morning, and because it's not deep. All the keys that God gives are quite simple. And I believe that there's a sound that goes before you. And that sound has an ability to bring terror into the enemy's camp. Now, the reason why I took a moment to say that is if you're not making that sound, it always looks like the enemy's encroaching on you. If you're bringing forth that clarity and that sound, it's like what they said in Jericho. We've been waiting all these years for you to come and conquer us. Because there's a terror that goes forth. You can't afford not to be on the offensive and bringing forth the sound that the Spirit of God would give you. Isaiah 62:10, so that you know that I'm biblical. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, and lift up the banner. In a moment, we're going to go back and say, for this house and for some of you, what are the gates that you're going through right now? What is the highway that's being built? How are you preparing a way for the people? What obstacle stones are you called to remove? And what is the banner that you're called to lift up? Turn to your neighbor and say, we need this. We do. We need this. See, I'm counting on, I'm going to sow it into you, and I'm going to go home, and God's going to sow it back into me. I'm going to take those questions before him and say, God, I want the answers for these, for some things that I'm doing. So the first thing that I want to touch on is Luke 11:24-26. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Now, I know this is talking about an individual person's deliverance, but I believe it's a spiritual truth, that wherever you had a breakthrough and wherever you had a victory, that it creates a vacuum. It creates an empty place, a well-swept place. And so if it is not filled with something, sustained with something, managed by godly people, then the enemy comes back, listen to this, to your strength, to your point of victory, to your successful testimony. He comes back to that place, and it says he seeks to enter in. At the place you had victory, it doesn't make sense, does it? But at the place that you've been the most victorious, he seeks to have victory right at that point, And if there is a place that's still a vacuum and has not been filled up, he says he comes back with seven more of his mates, more vile than himself. And then what happens? It makes that the next time you have to deal with that issue, it becomes more difficult to deal with than it was previously. And not only that, you also have the doubt of the people. Why didn't it stick last time? Why are we having to go around this mountain again? And so we have that. And so I felt like that the Spirit of God, some of the things that he's speaking this morning about going through the gate, some things he's speaking about preparing the way, some of the things he's speaking about building the highway, some of the things that he is speaking about getting rid of the obstacles, and lastly, raising up a banner. I feel like all of those things are things that have an ability to fill in the void, to fill in the atmosphere, so you do not have to come back and fight the same battle again. See, some of you need this in your personal families. Some of you need this in your personal finances. Some of you need this in your own lives and things that you're dealing with. It is not just spiritual truth corporately for what is going on this morning. Listen, I don't mind going to battle, and I don't mind being a warrior in Christ. I believe there's a strong warrior spirit in Scotland. I just don't want to go back and fight the same battle again. Isn't that it? Why do I get weary fighting the same battle again? When God has said, look, we're called to progress, and that he wants to keep moving us forward, and he brings us into promotion, and he brings us into greater impact, and he brings us into greater influence, why don't we go back and fight the same thing? Now, first of all, the Bible says, know the wiles of your enemy. So we're giving you a real key wile here. Whatever is your area of victory, the enemy's seeing if there's a gap there, if there's an empty place, if there's still a vacuum there that has not been filled, so the enemy has no right to come back to that. Okay, I may touch on that a little bit more later, but if it's okay, I want to move forward, because I believe that if you don't fill in that void, it creates a ceiling over any type of sustainable growth. And we know growth isn't just heads, right? It's not counting numbers, but it brings a ceiling over sustainable growth. So back to that place, we're going through the gates, we're making a way, we're building a highway, we're taking out stones, we're lifting up a banner. What does this look like for this house? Forgive me, I don't even know the name of this church. White Inch, is that the name of the area that we're in? White Inch Church. And so for you, well, just let me say this. And this month we came into the Hebraic New Year, 5774. And I'm not going to go into that teaching, but the only number that changed is the last one, four, right? You know, last year it would have been 5773, and this is specifically four. So the only four that has changed, and that four is a dalet. The symbolic picture of four is a dalet, which is a tent door that is now made open. I feel like there's some things that you've been trying to do that you could not do until the tent door was open. So it does not mean that you've done them wrongly or negatively or just weren't strong enough. Some of them you have to wait until the fullness of time, and you have to wait for the correct time that the Spirit of God wants to be able to open for you. And so I believe that the door that you're being invited access in at this time, listen, I'm going to talk about the gate and the highway simultaneously that you're building up. I believe the Lord says that as a highway, you are called to serve the community, and it is very much a missional, missionary emphasis. But the Lord said that there was diverse sounds that called forth the advance from this house. And I learned this a long time ago. We work with a lot of trafficked people, and we work with different people that have major disadvantages in their lives, and we don't all start from the same point. And we work with a lot of them. And I have learned that my heart always wants to work from the bottom up. But if I always work from the bottom up, there's no manpower and there's no money power to meet the needs of those at the bottom. Turn to someone and say, that makes sense to me. So there has to be an area where you not only
from the top down.
And so there has to be an area, if you are called to be and serve the community and even plant churches and to build others, there has to be a place where you start from the top down as well as the bottom up. I feel like we've got the bottom up side down really well. I feel like the Spirit of God says that He has put that within you and you have it. The top down is this. You have got to have the relationships with government to fulfill the type of vision that God has put within you. You have got to have the relationship with key business people that open up their doors and open up their bank accounts. You cannot do what God has called you to do on tithes and offerings solely. And you are not meant to do it by that way. And if you thought you were, then it would always be frustrating because there's just no ability in it. Not when you're serving from the bottom up. Right? So there has to be that area from top down. And I feel like the house knows the message of what it sounds like from the bottom up. But I want to share with you, if you give me 2 minutes, what does the message look like? Remember, it's a different sound than the one you're already bringing that is from the top down. Can you be willing to listen to that, even though it may not be the common message you normally get? So the top down message, the door that I believe you're called to go through right now, it's a kingdom door. And the Word of God says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That word there is He loved the cosmos. That means that He didn't just love the Christians, He didn't just love the men and women, He loved the cultures, He loved the systems, He loved the spheres so much that He gave His life for it. And yet when you only look from the bottom up, you always go, oh, if you had been the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. But if you look from the top down, it's God, we are called to change government. We are called to align nations to your purposes. We are called to see transfers of wealth to be able to accomplish what you want. And we are called to even raise major leaders and cause there to be apostolic structure well visible in the midst of this nation. Are you listening? Okay. So I'm just going to give you 4 scriptures here. The kingdom message is a generational message and it connects the dots. How many were in part of our meeting last night? We dealt with fatherlessness from a different area than we've ever had before in this nation. God said there was fatherlessness because, not because men sought to be fatherless, but that there was shame and guilt because they did not feel like they had the opportunities to provide well for their families. And they did not feel like, whether it was religious or whether it was governmental, they did not feel like they had the opportunity to operate true, godly, manly authority that men are called to operate in. And that a lot of the fruits in this nation that we've been dealing with, poverty, drunkenness, drug abuse, help me someone, abortion, what was it? Violence. These are fruits of the fatherlessness. And we've been going for the fruits from the tree rather than going for the strong man. And God says, because it did not start because of just people not wanting to do what was right, it started because of an injustice. The way we had to deal with it was called for justice. Okay, so that brings us up to date. The kingdom message is a generational message, and Scotland's greatest asset is its people. That is it. Anywhere you go in the world, Scotland's greatest asset is its people. And in a kingdom message, if that is part of what this nation is called to portray, not the only thing, but part of what this nation is called to portray, then we need to understand how does the kingdom message relate to that. So we're connecting dots. So in Genesis 3:15, it talks to us about the seed of the woman. Just hang on to that a minute. And then in Galatians 3:29, it talks about the seed of Abraham that became the church. Now, I made a big jump there, but just stay with me. Who, as the children of God, they were called to bless all the families of the earth. That's Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And they were called to rule as kings in the earth, Genesis 17, 5 through 7. And they were called to possess the gates of our enemies, Genesis 22, 17. This is our top-down message, not our bottom-up message. Did you hear that? You have got to be one to have an ability. You've got two hands. You can embrace more than one thing simultaneously, and it doesn't necessarily have to divide vision. And I believe the Spirit of God is releasing such a strong kingdom message. Pastor, just let me say this to you, and I'll prophesy to you later, but this is the word of the Lord. The Lord has called you to be a man of peace, to be a diplomat, and to be an extreme man at the same time. You are one that has that friction on the inside of you all the time, and that comfort, because how do I be a man of peace? How do I be a man of counsel and a diplomat, and at the same time be extreme? And so there, even if you're content in one area, you have two other areas that are totally discontent in your life always simultaneously, and yet God made you that way. Because of the diversity that he has called you to touch. And so instead of you battling with how God has made you and making frustration your issue, the Lord says, son, you're just going to learn to carry and facilitate several things. You may think you're already doing it, but I don't think you've seen anything yet in doing this. Okay, let me go on here. So what does it look like when you build from the top down rather than the bottom up? Okay, let's look at two different things. When you build from the bottom up, what are you doing? You're often helping the disadvantaged. Isn't that right? When you build from the top down, you're looking for areas of influence and impact to be able to touch others, to be able to touch systems that have an ability to bring quality of life to the many. Serves in the same way. I mean, it accomplishes the same thing, but its functioning is totally different. We were just with some people last weekend. It's a precious, precious woman I know. She felt like, and she had a very good job. She said, I feel like God wants me to start a daycare. So she's going to quit this very good job, and she's actually the major support of her family. I mean, her husband has a job, so she makes more than her husband. And so here, you know, he's not even in agreement with her. And she says, I really feel like God wants me to start this daycare. And this woman carries such a governmental anointing. She's switching from going from the top down, which has been her normal function, to now as a daycare worker. That's ground up. That is. And so she began this, and this is a year later. It's been started a year now. And this is in Amsterdam. Amsterdam also had the squeeze on its economy, and so the government has quit paying for many to take their children to daycare. And so a lot of daycares are currently closing in Amsterdam. And this is the time that God told her to open one. You know? So here she opens one, and God gives her a few children. And then she realizes she doesn't necessarily like the caliber of people that she's working with, so she develops a training program for the daycare workers. And God gives her a few more children. Then parents have issues, and they come to her because she's family. They don't realize, because they're also drawn to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth that's within her, and truly the light and the glory she carries. And so they tell her, she's become a facilitator in the community. They come to her now when they are having problems with their children and families, and the school's teachers come to her when they're having problems with students now, and she operates as a mediator to be able to bring answers and to be able to bring solutions in that environment. This is 1 year. I said that she moved from bottom up to now, the government is giving her money to train the daycare workers of the nation. Right back to top down. Did you say that because of where her anointing was? It doesn't mean you can't do what the vision is. It means now you have a way of facilitating the vision that the Spirit of God has put within you. And I'm just amazed at her after 1 year. 1 year of doing that. And it's tremendous what the Spirit of God is doing within her. And I can give you one story after the other. But let me go on here. And then we're going to prophesy. I think we've been prophesying, but we're going to prophesy. Obstacles that have to be removed. And I really think this probably has more to do with you, Pastor. I feel like that you want to work with all leaders. And I feel like the Spirit of the Lord says, no, you don't need to work with all leaders. He said, you know, the earth looks like it looks based on how well people lead. That's true. You may not like that, but when in the Bible, God said, listen, this is yours to steward. How the earth looks is a direct relation to how you've taken care of it. So I can't blame anybody for the area I'm in and what I'm doing. I just have to start working where I'm at and say, okay, God, let's work together with you to see what solutions we can bring from there. I really feel like pastors are saying this. Are we recording this? Great. I really feel like the Spirit of the Lord is saying, son, I have called you to work with leaders. And the Lord says, you have such a heart to build leaders and hold up their arms. And anybody that's called a leader, you're willing to lay down their life. So lay down your life for them. You're willing to encourage them and support them and counsel them. But I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say this. The Lord says, son, he says, you will build church planting teams. You will not be the church planter, says the Lord. And the Spirit of God says, because I have called you to find the apostles in this nation. And I have called you to bring regional gatherings together. And I have called you to be one that helps working with the prophets and even bring corporate vision as well as individual vision. And the Spirit of the Lord says, so son, he says, you want to work from the bottom up in the area of church planting, says the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord says, no, you raise up the teams that are going to do that, says the Lord. And the Lord says, and you be one that begins to call, he says, the apostles out of caves and out of hidden places, and even some of them out of the pulpit, says the Lord, that they might be able to rise up and function more in their areas of call. And the Lord says that then you're going to see there's going to be many hands that are going to serve the pastors and help them, says the Lord. But there will also be those local regional places that have a place for them to be trained, a place for them to be equipped, a place for them to encounter me, says the Lord, a place for them to be updated so they don't get stuck in a old wine skin, says the Lord. And so the Spirit of God says, son, I'm fast-tracking you, says God. And the Lord says, so son, he says that you've always known this, which said, I just don't know which step is when. And the Spirit of God says, son, listen, I'm showing you, this is at your door right now, that you have to begin to do that. And I'm going to give you grace in that area. And the Lord says, because whenever you work on a down-up area, the major restriction is going to be finances and manpower. But the Spirit of the Lord says, once you start working from the top down, you have broken that restriction because that is not the restriction from that position. Just say thank God. I mean, that just thank God. And I felt like that the Spirit of the Lord is saying this. And I just found on the way here that you're part of the Church of Scotland. And titles don't really mean much to me. But I felt like the Lord was saying this. Somehow, you're changing your relationship. I'm not even saying separating yourself. Listen to what I'm saying. Because I don't even know if this exists. The Lord says that you are and you aren't going to be Church of Scotland. You're going to have an honorary position for input, which is all you've been wanting in the last few years, says the Lord. And so the Lord says, I am going to make a place for you to have an honorary place of input and counsel because you love the church. And the Lord says, I am going to do that for you. But at the same time, says the Lord, he says, where there has even been a tug of war of alignment, I'm going to settle it, says the Lord. You are and you aren't. And it's honorary, not the way it was. And because people love you, and because I'm going to order a way, I'm going to make a place for you to stand that doesn't exist right now. And the best word I have right now is honorary. Stretch your hands and just direction before we go on. Father, right now, we love your church. He loves your church. Father, we love the Church of Scotland. We are not upset with the Church of Scotland. But Father, he knows that he's called to still have influence in that area. But Father, he also knows that what you're calling him to do in this day and how you're calling him to build is not necessarily going to be associated with Church of Scotland at all. And it would even be some of the advantage that he would carry. So Father, right now, we're asking for the sword of heaven to come down. And Father, for you to cut him loose, not cut him from. Father, to cut him loose, not to cut him from. So there is still that honorary place of investment so that he still has an ability to look behind him and give life. We call that shift right now. In the name of Jesus. And I hear the Spirit of God say this. Pastor, the Lord says, son, he says, you're going to see, he says, even in this next season, says the Lord, he says that I'm doing some things for you that could not be done before until you had some of these missing keys. And the Lord says one of them is going to even be in the area of facilities and buildings, says the Lord. And the Lord says with a down, up mentality, the Lord says you want to take the worst of buildings and bring restoration to them for the sake of look what God can transform. The Spirit of God says, son, I'm telling you, you really don't want that. That's what but the Lord says, the top-down part, which is mutual that you carry, the Lord says, not one or the other. It both is an advancing sound. The Lord says, son, what it does is it brings the fresh and the new that many are going to want to come to, and they're going to understand, says the Lord, that the apostolic has been given back to the land, and there is going to be a place that is going to have a major area of assist in bringing transformation to this land, says the Lord. I see Pastor Monty over there. Heard the people laugh too. let me just say this. There's sometimes we have to let go of something that looks like it's tangible to be able to grab hold of that which is invisible so it can come into substance. That's what Abraham said. I see the city, not made with man's hand. There's no substance right now. But I see it, and because I see it, I can leave what I already have because I see it. See, what we want to say is, no, when I have it, I will leave this. That's not a spiritual principle. Okay? It's the other way around. So I believe we're doing some business with spiritual. Father, I just thank you right now. Father, that you'll give this man great favor with the council, but Father, the council is treating him, Father, as if he is, that he's got dirt underneath his fingernails, that he is a man that would be satisfied with what nobody would be satisfied with, and that he is willing to make something out of nothing. And Father, right now, they're downsizing the call, the anointing, and the authority over this man, even to connect him to the things that he's connected to right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for that same sword to come now. And, Father, we ask you to cut him free from dead works. And the Spirit of the Lord says, don't you call that building an investment, says the Lord. The Lord says, that's no investment. But I will take what you have done there, and I will cause you to reap where you did not sow, says the Lord. And so the Spirit of the Lord says, son, do not call that a mistake. The Lord says that truly represented the down-up mentality, says God. But the Lord says it does not represent at all the call to advance from the top down, says the Lord. So, Father, right now we ask you to cut them free of that, forgive me, that is unredeemable. And the Spirit of the Lord says it needs to be torn down. And the Spirit of the Lord says, son, he says, I don't want you to speak a blessing over that building. The Lord says, I want you to shake the dust off your feet. That was not a blessing. The Lord says that was a curse, says the Lord. Father, right now, we ask for that to be cut fully through and through in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the reasons that I feel like that the Spirit of God is saying that, Property always represents authority in the Word of God. Property represents authority, and it also represents a local authority and a land authority, and it causes us no work. And so we have always looked at any type of property as a blessing. I don't believe that if you carry both of those things from the down up and the top down, all property is not a blessing. Some of it is just dead weight and a curse. And sometimes you have to cut yourself from the one to be able to go, God, I'm going for that one that I have not yet seen, that is made by your hands, that you're bringing me into. So that which stunted the journey